guys, how you doing? My name is Tiana, for anyone who doesn't know me. But before I'm going to start, I'm just going to lift up praise to God, so if you'll join me with prayer. Hey God, we just lift up tonight. God, I thank you that we're not here by mistake. You brought us here for a reason. God, I pray that it'll be your words, not mine, that I'll be so easily forgotten and that you'll be seen so clearly tonight, Jesus. We pray for open hearts and open minds to hear what you have to say. In your almighty name, amen. When the battle chooses you. So, most of you probably know that my incredible boyfriend is Mitch. One of the people who does worship around here. My relationship with Mitch is mainly strong because of who I chose. So selection is important, guys, just saying. Anyway, before dating Mitch, my mum used to always tell me to choose my battles. You know, some things just need to be let go of. I experienced this great decision in the very first weeks of our relationship. You see, Mitch was over for dinner and kindly offered to stack the dishwasher for me. What a gentleman. Well, you see, his dishwasher at home has one of those things where you can just chuck all the cutlery in at the bottom and don't have to think about it. Well, mine has one of those pull-out drawers that you have to, like, stack everything really neatly. Anyway, this is what I came to see that night. Look at that. It's a mess. Spoons next to upside-down forks, knives not in a line, not evenly spaced. Now, my OCD self had a little heart palpitation, but I chose not to judge Mitch and love him instead. Now, just as a disclaimer, this wasn't a make or break moment for me, but a good segue into my sermon, because I actually got to choose whether to make a scene about this or not, and I didn't. And there are other times in life where I get to do the same thing. But I am fully aware that we don't always get this luxury. What happens when the enemy drops something on your front doorstep that you didn't directly cause, choose, or anticipate? Anxiousness, gossip, friendship problems, family issues. What happens if you don't have the time to think up a strategy, ask for help, or prepare yourself? What do you do when it's sneaking up on you tomorrow? You don't have time to watch a TED talk, to read a book, to get a good sleep. What happens when the battle chooses you? So the main part of my sermon will focus on those battles we aren't prepared for. And the last little part, I just want to look at who we need to team up with and what we do to give control over to God. So we're going to look at the battles that choose us to start with. The New Testament explains to us that we can deal with a battle by choosing to walk the front line with Jesus next to us, to put on the armor of God. Sounds obvious? Let me challenge you with this. Ephesians 6:10-17. It'll be up on the screen for you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, some of us might have heard about this, some of us might not have. Paul, who wrote Ephesians, used battle imagery to describe spiritual disciplines, or easier known as practices of Jesus, that we need to have to fight battles that are beyond our human strength. Now, I've fallen in the trap before of pretending that I'm perfect and I can do all these things at once. I'm definitely not, and I don't think anyone ever responds perfectly to a battle that surprised them. However, I'm going to explain the difference in attitude towards a battle that we most likely didn't choose with and without this armor. I'm only going to give you a couple examples, but you can transfer the knowledge on. So let's use this scenario. Imagine you were Frank. You're a year 8 boy. You're not really sporty. You actually enjoy really reading and learning, but all your other classmates are never around at recess and lunch because they're kicking the footy. You don't really care, haven't really thought about it. But one day you hear your friends laughing. When you walk up to join them, they stop talking and just walk away. Slowly, it progresses to more apparent bullying, teasing, making fun of, stretches to cyberbullying. You're really self-conscious. You don't want to do what you love anymore because you really just want to fit in. I don't know many people in this situation who would have the inner strength to overcome a battle like this. So let's have a look at the belt of truth to start with. Now, if you were Frank and you were someone who was unaware of the gospel, the ways of Jesus and his armor, you wouldn't be aware of the basic truths and promises God made you. Frank is going to miss the important fact that God has a purpose for him, a plan for his future, that he died for him and has unconditional love for him. He's not going to understand God can equip someone for any battle and provide for all our needs. He'll not realize that prayer works, that God actually hears us. I could go on forever because the New Testament actually makes 3,000 promises, well, God makes in the New Testament, 3,000 promises alone. So without these simple truths, Frank is going to get pretty down and depressed real quick when the world seems against him. However, if he does understand these truths, even if it doesn't make his situation easier, it allows him to have a hope. Because if you believe in God, you believe that he will never fail us. And if we put on our belt of truth, which is understanding and knowing these promises, although we might struggle, we can keep our head up because we know that we will soon see the light at the end of the tunnel. As a side note, the belt played a really crucial role in the effectiveness of a soldier's armour. It was the belt that held this thing called a scabbard, which is where the sword was placed. So you can imagine an overzealous soldier charging up into battle without his belt and then consequently without a weapon. Have a think about that for a second. So we'll look at the breastplate of righteousness now. Righteousness is a really tricky thing to understand. It does not mean being cocky, up yourself. Righteousness is another sermon in itself. However, in short, it means knowing that God is bigger than you and being humble in that, yet having confidence in his power over your life, allowing you to stand firm. In Frank's situation, the common response would be to crumble under pressure, not trusting in God or a higher power, but instead looking to worldly things, social media, drugs and alcohol, other people, to fill the hole in Frank's heart. However, it would help Frank if he understood he could always look to God and have confidence in someone who hears our prayers, loves us unconditionally. So when we feel like everything is against us, God is there to pick us up when we fall. The breastplate was a central part of the Roman soldier's armour. It provided protection for the torso, which contains all of our vital organs. Without a breastplate, a soldier would be immediately asking for death, as any attack could become fatal. With a sturdy breastplate, the very same attacks become ineffective and useless. When we put this armour on and we rely on God, we don't have to worry about trying to dodge every bullet that comes our way. We can actually keep our eyes focused on the goal and let God deal with the bullets. So we're going to look at the shoes of peace now. Peace is something we don't often experience in today's world. There is so much worldly pressure on us to look this way, act another, be better than the person sitting next to you. Remember Frank? If you were Frank and you don't put on these shoes, anxiety and stress will build up and start affecting other areas of your life, particularly in his situation if you're getting bullied. However, if you use God's power and almighty peace in this situation, you will have a shoulder to cry on, and despite your circumstances, you can actually have joy because we understand that God is on our side. Imagine a fully armed soldier. So he has his sword, his shield, he has his helmet, breastplate, belt, but his feet are completely bare. This picture probably seems strange, and so it should. Just by thinking about it, we can tell something is missing. In short, shoes allow us to step freely and without fear while we turn our full attention to the battle at hand. We want to be able to walk freely on the battlefield without getting our feet scraped, scratched, or hurt. You get the picture here. If we believe in Jesus and his word, we can actually use the Bible as protection in battle. But you might ask, how do we do this practically? I'm going to go through each of those armors of God that I read out in the verse earlier. I'm just going to give you one idea that you could choose this week. Maybe pick one of them, doesn't matter which one, and see if you can work on that this week. So, belt of truth. There is a Bible app called YouVersion. It's super simple to download on your phone. You can set it up to send you verse of the day. If you're feeling fancy, you can also make a photo out of that and save it as your lock screen on your phone. By reading one verse, one promise, one part of God's truth, it will remind you that you are a child of God, ready to face anything. Breastplate of righteousness. God is a fair God and will deliver his people. If you just Google on the net anytime, promises of God, it will come up with thousands of sites demonstrating God's promises for us. What if this week you went away and read one promise a day? You can put on that breastplate of righteousness because even though you may be treated unjustly at school, at sport, you know God is a fair God and he does not fail in his promises. Shoes of peace. There is a significant peace that comes with knowing what the gospel means to you. What if you spent a little time this week, discovering what you actually believe in and why? For example, I believe that God sent Jesus as an example to how to live a Christian life and to die for our sins. That's fantastic, but what does that actually mean for you and how can you apply this to your own circumstances? I believe God sent Jesus as an example of how to live a Christian life and to die for our sins. And this means that I can live in complete freedom each day and show a little bit of love to others. Make it personal. If your roots are in Jesus and what you believe in are laid out before you, when times of trouble come, you can come back to those foundational beliefs. Helmet of salvation. Salvation means to be saved. I ask you, have you read or revisited the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recently? Have you reminded yourself of Jesus' life on earth and what God, he did for God's people? This month, even this week if you're feeling fancy, pick a gospel and read a chapter each day to remind you of your death to sin and freedom in life with Christ. Shield of faith. Prayer is a way we can keep connected with God in our faith. Pick a spot or time each day this week and set it aside to talk to God. Talk to him as a friend. He isn't scary. He's not a distant God. Where is a time in your day this week, busy week as it might be, that you can intentionally set aside for him? The last one is the sword of the Spirit. A way we can connect with God and his Holy Spirit is through worship. Lachlan last week gave an incredible sermon on worship. And if you missed it, hit it up on social media and on the podcast. We worship here on a Friday night and on a Sunday as a big group of believers. But I challenge you this week, pick a night after school, go into your room and shut your door. Chuck on some worship music and start listening and reflecting on those words. What are they saying to you? It does take practice and training. Soldiers in war spend months and even years in training, and they have an attitude of not giving up. If we're to learn to put God's armour on, we need routine and we need discipline. So I've actually printed off something for all of you. And after our next set of worship by the lovely Abby and her team, I'm going to hand it out at the back with a whole bunch of volunteers. So it's a prayer version of Ephesians 6:10-20 that I read out before. And if this discipline of doing something each day or, you know, putting on the armours of God is something you really struggle with or you need structure to help learn it, stick this to your mirror in your bathroom, pop it somewhere you'll see it every day, and pray this over yourself each morning as you wake up. Speaking the truth over yourself before you face your day can do a great deal in your attitude towards the challenges you might face. Second thing I want to encourage you to do, if you're faced with a battle that has come by surprise, is to focus on tomorrow. 2 Chronicles 20:17 says, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." I want to focus on that bit that says, go out and face them tomorrow. This future thinking is so important, and let me tell you why. I could have stuffed up yesterday. I could have stuffed up today. But I haven't stuffed up tomorrow yet. I could have cried yesterday. I could have cried today. But I haven't cried tomorrow yet. Let me give you some examples of battles we could be facing and look at how future thinking can help. Depression. I'm down all the time. I can't stand myself. I can't stand being with myself. I need to escape, and I can't do anything about how I felt yesterday or this morning. But tomorrow, I can choose to do one thing that makes me happy. Go for a walk, watch Friends on Netflix, read a book. Tomorrow, it might only make me forget how I feel for 30 minutes, but it's a step in the right direction. Anxiety. I can't be around people. I freak out over the smallest things. I'm shaking. I feel sick all the time. And this happened yesterday, and I woke up this morning not feeling great. Well, tomorrow, I can choose to ask for help. I don't need to dive straight into the deep end, but tomorrow I can reach out to a friend. I can call a teacher. I can tell my parents. I can chat to a helpline. Tomorrow, that it's a possibility because it hasn't made its mind up yet. Pornography. I don't want to do it. I know it's wrong. I shouldn't be looking at it, and I know I shouldn't be viewing these people as objects. It's wrecking me and getting in the way of my friendships, relationships, and in between me and God. I did it yesterday. I did it this morning. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell a trusted person that this is a battle that's really real for me and not ask them to fix it or fix me, but hold me accountable. Every time I look at porn, even if I do it again tomorrow and the next day, I'm going to tell this trusted person. Loneliness. I have no friends. All my classmates catch up without me. I'm never invited. I feel like an outsider. I have no one to talk to. Yesterday I was alone and today hasn't gone so great. Tomorrow, I'm going to choose to look outside of my immediate classmates and talk to someone new. I'll be outside of my comfort zone, but at least I can do is try. You get the picture. You can't change the past, but you can do something about tomorrow. Ask God for a future thinking attitude. Ask God to help you pick a really small step in the right direction to focus on tomorrow. third thing I want you to try and do if you're faced with a battle that's come by surprise, is to remember you do not need to be fixed to be found. God equips each and every one of his children if they are called to do something. He does not call the people who are all perfect, who have it all together, who look good. If God's taking you to the front of a battlefield, or if the enemy has decided to challenge you today, I can guarantee you that God has a strategy to get you through. Young Christian people tend to get into the mindset that if they don't have it all together, then they're actually useless in times of struggle and battle. But there are so many Bible verses that remind us God will not desert us and he will equip people for their specific time, place, and circumstance. He will not leave us on the front line without our weapons. Here are some examples. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." 2 Peter 1:3, "Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power." Philippians 2:13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." These are all just random verses I've pulled from the Bible, reminding us that God will give us everything we need to get through. Maybe that doesn't look like how we expect it. However, God is not a God that will leave us for dead. So we've talked about ways that we can deal personally with battles that have sneaked up on us. But I want to pose a question to you now. What if these battles that we're addressing here, we weren't meant to fight alone? So all those things we were talking about before, they're ways to help ourselves in battle with God. But maybe, just maybe, God can take over an uncontrolled circumstance, a broken heart, an anxious mind. Who do we need to team up with to fight this battle? How do we know that we actually need to give control over to God? Let me tell you, there are plenty of battles in my life that weren't mine to fight alone, yet I walked straight into the middle of it. I'm not perfect, but I'm saying there's a way we can stand firm. There are two distinct situations in my life that I can think of that shows both sides of the coin here. There's a battle that I didn't want to fight, but that I tried with all my human strength, and I barely came out alive. Yet another I chose to give to God, and I came out with hardly a scar. The first was a period of time at my school where I battled mental health. I couldn't bear to be around anyone. I was totally inside my head and I didn't have the courage to step out and ask for help. So instead, I took what I thought was my really strong self-will to pull myself out of the hole that I was in, which in fact made it worse. The thing that saved me from myself was actually finding God, because at the time I wasn't a Christian. And I came out with significant scars from that period of time, some I still see today. However, all praise to God for what he did in my life. Examples of how I fought this in my own strength. I self-diagnosed myself before getting help. I blamed circumstances of school, friends, stress, etc., my attitude towards life. I tried to blame my parents for not understanding. I tried to internalize everything. I was trying to do this all on my own, and I didn't know God. The other situation, the other side of the coin, was a health issue I was battling last year. I was getting significant migraines that were knocking me out for days at a time, not really allowing me to live my normal life. I had to go see a whole bunch of medical professionals about it, and it was also getting in the way of me travelling with badminton to play for SA. But I knew that God had a plan, and I had full trust in him. I had an incredible support network around me, and I asked for prayer, and I gave everything to God. 3 months later, my migraines had stopped. I'd been able to travel for badminton and there are no significant repercussions now. And this isn't only a miracle God could do. In hindsight, I could actually distinctly tell that I'd chosen to give in this battle to God, because even though some of the health prospects I was facing were scary, I chose to confide in trusted people and I asked for prayer and I prayed and remained in my relationship with God through the whole thing. I did not try to blame the world or other people for what I was going through. I teamed up with my friends and I trusted God fully. These examples are by no means for sympathy. They were simply to show you that the way you react to battles can really affect the outcome. So, the fourth and final thing I want to bring up is how to let go and let God. Identifying if you are fighting a battle alone that you shouldn't, and instead teaming up with someone else and with God. Some battles will come up and you will have a choice whether to fight them or not, and whether you should fight them by yourself, with other people, with God, or all three. You might be fighting the wrong battle, or you might be fighting a battle alone that you shouldn't, if you're trying to control your situation and trying to play God. For example, in my period of mental health challenges, I was in flat-out denial at some points. I was unwilling to accept my circumstance and wishfully thinking that if I could ignore it, I could control my emotions and make it all disappear. I tried to control other people. I was always fighting against them rather than letting them help me, and that meant I was ultimately fighting against God. However, with my health problems, I wasn't blaming other people for not helping or understanding or trying to fix my situation. I just instead asked for prayer and patience. I knew I couldn't change the situation at hand, and I was definitely not trying to alter my own life or play God. Instead, I was entrusting someone else to give it to God on my behalf. Another example of teaming up with someone is my relationship with Mitch. We try not to ever fight or be in battle against one another. That's not because we don't disagree, and it doesn't mean we won't in the future. But we understand it's actually not me against him. It's actually me and him against it, whatever that might be. Not enough time, uni work, the devil trying to get between us. Our goal together is to team up and do life on the same side of the battlefield. So you might be thinking, yeah, that's all good, Tiana, but there are some people I just cannot seem to face because the exact thing that I'm struggling with, maybe gossip, friendship issues, stress, anxiety, it shows up when I'm with them every single time. Let me explain something. Again, this is not always the case, and I fully understand that there are some people we do actually just need to distance ourselves from to look after ourselves. However, a battle might show up when you're with someone or doing something in particular, but it didn't necessarily start there. For example, I still get panic attacks sometimes, and more often than not, I'm either with Mitch or my close friends when they happen. Yes, my battle shows up with them, but it did not come from them. We know that we must always line up on the same side of the battle. We can't try to control each other or play God. We must be a team. Who do you need to team up with today to fight a battle that surprised you from behind? Or what do you need to do to ask God to take control over this battle? How are you going to let go and let God? Whose side of the battle are you going to line up on? I actually faced this question last night, myself actually. Today was my first day of placement. I was preaching tonight. I just got a new job this week. I quit my old job. It was a hectic week and I was on the phone to Mitch and I was crying and I had a mental breakdown. I was like, I just can't preach. I cannot do this. I'm not equipped to do this. And he was like, you know, you need to trust God. And I was like, I do trust God. I just don't trust myself. I'm not equipped to do this. And he's like, you don't have to be. You don't have to be because God's got this. His power is so much more and so much better than anything I could ever do myself. Yes, there are some things that we just need to get over and done with. You have an assignment due tomorrow. You can't just turn around and go, not my battle to fight. God, you take this one from me. Actually, no, you're going to fail. But there are battles that are not meant for us to fight alone. We do live in a corrupt world and the enemy will try and get us from any direction. If we decide to enter a relationship with God, not only do we have the most powerful being of all time on our side, we will also find others with the same morals and beliefs to team up with and do life together. Now, there are some cases, such as people God doesn't heal, that I just don't understand. And additionally, he won't do it like the last time because he actually doesn't want us putting faith in methods. He wants us trusting in him and him alone. But his timing and plans are perfect. And if we team up with God, we'll be able to fight the battle in front of us. Imagine having a full army behind you. Pretend this is my army, my worship team, right? And we're ready for battle and you guys are who we're fighting. And we're ready, we're in the trenches, we're ready to go. And I go, no, 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 you stay there. I'm just going to go out on my own, don't have anything. I'm going to fight you all down all by myself. Seems pretty silly, right? God doesn't want us to run into a battlefield all on our own. He wants to be on our team. Will you let him? Let me end with this. If it hits your heart, it's God's battle to fight. Mitch stacking the cutlery in the dishwasher pushed a couple of my buttons, but it did not really hit me too hard in the heart. God cares if it hurts. He wants you to know that you are his treasure. God promised his love forever, and that means it can't stop now. So choose your battles when you can, but if you can't, choose who you're going to turn to, your own strength or God's almighty power. I invite you to stand as we're going to sing.